कुंज बिहारी
राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मदन मोहन राधा मदन मोहन राधे जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ बलदेव जय सुभद्रा
जय
जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल गौर प्रेमानंदे जयोम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्र सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा मदन मोहन की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रामय की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Radhashtami Mahotsav ki jai. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Gaur Premanande. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। I'm very happy to be with all of you in ISKCON Atlanta. This is the first time I have the pleasure of being with all of you. Amarendra Prabhu, I believe, had invited me several months ago, but somehow it didn't work out, and it just happened only now. So then finally, I think I could not refuse his invitation. In any case, I'm happy to be with all of you. I do hope that all of you are keeping well and safe. I do not know what the pandemic situation is in your place, but nevertheless, I wish that all of you are well and happily continuing with your Krishna conscious activities. So as you know, the topic for today is the significance of Radhashtami. Radhashtami is just around the corner. We are celebrating here in India day after tomorrow. I do not know when you will celebrate it in Atlanta. So the word significance is significant because when we ask about or speak about the significance of something, we want to know the importance of something. So when we say the significance of Janmashtami, for example, we say the importance of Janmashtami. or the significance of Ram Navami, the importance of it. So a particular day or an event, it has a significance because of something that happened there. So Janmashtami is important because Krishna was born on that day, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly with Lord Ram. So when we speak of the significance of Radhashtami, we want to speak about its importance. And to know the importance, then we have to understand who Srimati Radharani is, because this is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. So why is Radharani important for us? Why is she important? So this, of course, is a very important topic for us, because without this, our understanding of Krishna consciousness will be incomplete. Now, every Radhashtami, I never tire of narrating one particular experience I had when I was traveling by train in India many years ago. And although I feel disinclined to repeat it, but because it is so instructive and because it serves as such a nice opportunity for explaining who Srimati Radharani is and what her significance is, I like to repeat it every year. So it so happened that in this train journey, I was sitting and reading a book, Srila Prabhupada's book, BBT book, and the cover had a painting of Sri Krishna. There happened to be an elderly lady sitting in front of me, who I later learnt was a professor in some college. And she saw the book I was reading. Initially she didn't say anything, but after some time, I suppose she could not hold herself back. I could see that she was getting a little restless. Then finally she came out with it. And when our eyes met, then she said, "Why does God have to be a man?" So now that, and the tone in which she spoke was somewhat belligerent. So now I was taken aback because I wasn't expecting this kind of a question. I was expecting some question maybe, about what is bhakti, or what do you have in this book, or something like that. But then I saw it as an opportunity for preaching, but I was a little tentative because of her mood. It was almost on the border of being a little aggressive. So then to make the mood a little lighter, I immediately responded to her and said, "Madam, it's not my fault. You know, what can I do? I did not make God. God has made all of us. And he is who he is. And scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita give us information of who he is. No, but then why does he have to be a man?" So then I had a small discussion with her. And I'll begin this lecture today by giving you some of the points that I mentioned, that I don't remember exactly the entire conversation and the details, but at least some of the points that I mentioned I would like to place before you. Basically, I told her that why are we so fixated with the idea of gender so much? You know, because in this material world, gender is not a permanent or a sustainable identity. Because one may be born in a male body, in whatever species of life, in this life, and then it may be that one is born in a female body in the next life, either in the same species or in another species. Now, what to speak of in the next life? Even in the same life nowadays, there are people who undergo surgeries, sex change surgeries, so they become male from female or female from male. So there are such things happening. So the point is that our conception of gender is based upon the bodily concept of life. And ultimately we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So when we are considering spiritual matters, and especially in our connection to Krishna, we have to keep sight of this fact that one cannot impose our materialistic conceptions of this world upon Godhead, upon the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual realm, the ultimate reality, exists in its own glory, far beyond the reach of the material world, far beyond the purview and the range of our senses, or even the extensions of our senses, like our instruments, telescopes, or whatever. So we make a mistake when we try to understand transcendental subject matters through the experience that we have in this world and through the logic and reasoning that we concoct with our intelligence. So therefore, whether God is a male or a female, whether he is masculine or feminine, is an important question, but it doesn't mean that because God happens to be masculine and we happen to be feminine, then we should feel affronted by this or we should feel offended by this. Neither should that matter to anybody else. Because ultimately the spiritual realm goes beyond these genders of the material world. Now, the second point is, we have to introduce two words here. One is called Purusha and the other is called Prakriti. The word Purusha implies the Lord or the Master, and specifically it implies one who is the controller, one who is the enjoyer. And there is only one supreme enjoyer. Actually, there is only one enjoyer, and he is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, because he wants to enjoy himself, not only alone, but he wants to exchange transcendental mellow, so he expands himself into unlimited entities, and then he enters into a relationship with them. So those entities are the energies, the prakriti. So prakriti are those are the elements, or prakriti is that which is meant to serve the Purusha. And the prakriti constituting all the living entities of this world are fundamentally meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate Purusha. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that the individual soul has also been referred to as Purusha on some occasions. For example, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhungte Prakritir Jair Gunair Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasat Yoni Janmasu, where Krishna describes that when the enjoyer, Purusha, referring to the spirit soul here, wants to enjoy the resources of material energy, then it is sent down into the material world, and where the soul now becomes entangled in the cycle of birth and death and has to take birth in various species of life, sad, asad, yoni, sometimes in the higher species of life, sometimes in the lower species of life. So why has the jiva been referred to as a Purusha here, if the jiva is actually prakriti, or the energy of Krishna? It is a marginal energy of Krishna, the jiva shakti of Krishna. It is because the jiva is falsely desiring to be a Purusha, or an enjoyer, or a controller. So it's a kind of a fantasy that the jiva has in his mind, or in her mind. And this material world is a kind of a kshetra or a territory where the jiva may try to play out his or her fantasy of being the enjoyer and the controller. So therefore, ultimately, all the living entities are meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are prakriti. Even material energy is called prakriti. But material energy by herself is not conscious. So the jivas have to activate material energy. So both the material energy, which is called Maya Shakti, and the spirit souls, who are called the Jiva Shakti, are Prakriti, and they are meant to serve the Supreme Purusha. And the jivas may falsely claim or understand themselves to be a Purusha. Therefore, they are called Purusha sometimes. Now, the interesting thing is that Purusha is masculine, Prakriti is feminine from a grammatical point of view. and also from an ontological point of view. Because if Prakriti is the enjoyed and Purusha is the enjoyer, so we have the idea of Purusha being the masculine and Prakriti being the feminine. Therefore, all living entities, regardless of whether they are currently in a male body or in a female body, from this point of view, are actually feminine in gender. Purely from a spiritual point of view, mind you. Of course, in the material world, we have so many different types of bodies, some male, some female, etc. But from the spiritual platform, it's all feminine with respect to Krishna. And one may think, well, in the Vaikuntha world, there are male devotees. In Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, there are cowherd men, there are the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna. So yes, even they eventually are meant only for serving Krishna, who is the ultimate Purusha. So this is the second consideration, that one really need not worry about whether one is in a male body, in a female body, and therefore one should not try to understand or analyze or judge the Vedic teachings about the Supreme Lord from this limited point of view. So now, let us understand the concept of the Absolute Truth. So this is how I was trying to explain to this professor lady. Now, by definition, the Absolute Truth must be complete and perfect. The Absolute Truth must include everything within our experience and outside of our experience. We experience so many dualities in this world. So therefore, all these dualities must exist within the Supreme Lord. And indeed they are. And these apparent opposites or dualities then become reconciled most harmoniously and in a sublime fashion within the Absolute Truth. That is why he is absolute. And we are relative. We are living in a relative world where everything depends on something else, where everything is dependent. Whereas Krishna, the Purusha, the complete Absolute Truth, is completely independent, as the Bhagavatam says, Swarat. So Swarat means one who is fully independent. Now, coming to the lady's question, why does God have to be only a man? So the answer is, God is not only a man, or man in the sense of masculine. God is also feminine, because we see feminine and masculine both genders in this world. So therefore, in the complete Absolute Truth, both genders must exist, and indeed they do. If the Absolute Truth was only masculine and there was no feminine aspect to the Absolute Truth, it would mean that the Absolute Truth is incomplete. It is imperfect. So therefore, the Supreme Lord has two aspects. One is the masculine, the other is the feminine. And together they constitute the complete Absolute Truth. So the masculine is Krishna, and the feminine aspect of the Supreme Lord is Srimati Radharani. So to use Srila Prabhupada's words, Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So therefore, Krishna and Srimati Radharani together constitute the Supreme Absolute Truth. And then from them, everything emanates. And then from Krishna, all the expansions of the Vishnu Tattvas, all the incarnations happen. From Srimati Radharani, all the Shaktis happen. They expand themselves from there. So actually, Radha Krishna are one Absolute Truth. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Radha Krishna eko atma dui deho dhari anyonye vilase rasa asvadana kori. He says, Radha Krishna ek atma. Radha Krishna are actually one. They're one personality. But dui deho dhari. But they have now expanded themselves into two. They have manifested in two parts. Why is that? অন্যোন্যে বিলাসে রস আস্বাদন করে, বিকজ দে ওয়ান্ট টু এনজয় রস ট্রান্সেন্ডেন্টাল মেলোস উইথ ইচ আদার. অন্যোন্যে মিনস উইথ ওয়ান অ্যানাদার, বিলাস মিনস টু এনজয়। সো উইথ ইচ আদার দে ওয়ান্ট টু এনজয়। হোয়াট ডু দে ওয়ান্ট টু এনজয়? রস। হোয়াট কাইন্ড অফ রস? ট্রান্সেন্ডেন্টাল রস। So therefore, that one absolute truth has manifested as two personalities, Krishna, Krishna, excuse me. So, so now, that one absolute truth has manifested as two, the masculine and the feminine. So together they constitute the complete absolute truth. So without Srimati Radharani, Krishna is incomplete. He is imperfect. So Srimati Radharani is the Shakti or the energy, the Prakriti of Krishna. And because we generally think of Prakriti in terms of the material energy, we must understand that Srimati Radharani is the original, ultimate Adi Prakriti. So one of her names is Moola Prakriti. Mool means original. So she is the original energy of Krishna. And from her emanate all the other energies. Inasmuch as Krishna is the original supreme Godhead, and from him emanate all the other forms of Godhead. So in the same chapter of the Adi Leela, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Radha Purna Shakti Krishna Purna Shaktiman Dui Vastu Bheda Naye Shastra Paraman. So he says, Radha Purna Shakti and Krishna Purna Shaktiman. So Srimati Radharani is the complete, Purna means complete. So Radharani is the complete Shakti or the energy, and Krishna is the Purna Shaktiman. Shaktiman refers to the energetic or the source of the energy. Dui vastu bhedanai, Kaviraj Goswami says, within the Shakti and the Shaktiman, there is no bheda. Bheda means a difference. So they are one. And Shastra Paramana. So it says there is Praman or there is evidence for this in the scripture. And then he goes on to explain or elaborate this or to elucidate this particular concept of how the Shakti and Shaktiman are one. So he says, Mrigamada Tara Gandha Jaiche Anucheda Avicched Agni Jwalate Jaiche Kabhu Nahi Bheda. So he says, he gives two analogies, upamans. One is Mrigamada. Mrigamada refers to musk. You know, there is a particular kind of a deer called the musk deer who secretes a very fragrant substance from its body. And it is very heady and very intoxicating, this particular fragrance. So it is very much valued. So there are people who capture this particular musk deer to get that little musk. And then it is used to make a variety of perfumes in this world. So Mrigamada, Mrigamada means that musk which comes from the musk deer. And Tara Gandha, Tara means its, Gandha is scent. Jaiche Avichcheda. So in the same way as musk and its scent cannot be segregated, in the same ways, Agni Jwalate Joiche Kobhunahu Bheda. In as much as the fire cannot be separated from its heat, in the same way, Krishna and his Shakti cannot be separated. So this is an analogy. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about the simultaneous oneness and difference, the Achintya Bheda Bheda principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it is actually inconceivable, this idea. And I want to read one or two lines from Prabhupada's purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he actually elaborates on this. So I'm quoting. This is from the Adilila, chapter 4, text 56, which is the verse that I just read out, actually, in the first verse that I recited. So Srila Prabhupada says, the two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Krishna is the potent factor and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source for understanding such intricacies of transcendence. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here that this is how we must understand Radha Tattva or Radha Krishna Tattva or even Krishna Tattva. So Radha and Krishna are one who have manifested into two for the sake of exchanging transcendental rasa. And then further, Kaviraj Goswami says, Radha Krishna oiche sada eka iswarupa, lila rasa asva dite dhore dui rupa. So Radha Krishna oiche sada eka rupa. So they are always one form. But lila rasa asva dite, for the purpose of relishing or tasting transcendental mellow through their pastimes, dhare dui rupa, therefore they manifest themselves in two forms, Radha and Krishna. So in this way we have understood the basic concept of Srimati Radharani's existence. So then that is how I explained to this lady, professor. In brief, today in the lecture I have elaborated it a bit, but at that time perhaps she was not as receptive and I could not sit and give her a lecture, but I explain as briefly. So therefore we have a very important point to consider at this point, since our topic is the significance of Radhashtami, which means the significance of Srimati Radharani, and which is that the absolute truth can be understood to different degrees and in different manners by different people depending on their knowledge and their level of realization. If one wants to have a complete understanding of the absolute truth of God, then one cannot have it without understanding Srimati Radharani. So the complete understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth is Radharani and Krishna. So we did mention, I explained to that lady and we'll move on with the discussion about the Shaktis. So because Srimati Radharani is the Moola Shakti, what does it mean? Actually Krishna has one energy, the Swarup Shakti. But that one Swarup Shakti has innumerable manifestations. And one can categorize them according to their functions or according to different angles of vision. So that one energy can be called spiritual or material. It can be called Sandhini, Samvit, Ladini, etc., etc. But broadly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we see that Krishna's Shakti has three divisions. One is the Chit Shakti, which is the spiritual energy. The second is the Jiva Shakti, which is the living entities and the marginal potency. And the third is the Maya Shakti, the material energy. the chit shakti, which is the spiritual energy, can also be considered to have three aspects, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first aspect of it is Sandhini Shakti, the second is Samvit Shakti, and the third is Ladini Shakti. Now it is important that as we go along, we familiarize ourselves with these terms. So even if some of you have not heard these terms before, it is good to hear them now. And I'm not going to pastimes today because we are not on on Radhashtami day. I'm sure you'll be hearing about the birth pastime of Srimati Radharani and other pastimes on the day of Radhashtami. So today I'll restrict myself to a little bit of philosophy. So the Sandhini Shakti is that part of the Chit Shakti that is actually responsible for the existence of of Krishna, of Krishna's form. And it is from the Sandhini Shakti that Krishna's form manifests. The Samvit Shakti, or the knowledge potency of the Lord, is that potency by which the Lord understands himself and causes others to understand him as well. And finally, we have the Ladini Shakti. The Ladini Shakti is that aspect of the Chit Shakti which gives bliss, transcendental bliss. The Lord has nothing to do with material pleasure. It gives transcendental bliss to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also it gives bliss to his pure devotees. So, just as the Sandhini Shakti is responsible for the form of Krishna, similarly the Ladini Shakti manifests the form of Srimati Radharani. So in this way, we can understand the existence of these two personalities with respect to their Shaktis. And when the Lord expands himself, Eko Bahusyam, to become so many different living entities, and he engages in loving relationships with them, what does it mean? This exchange of loving relationship implies an exchange of rasa, an exchange of transcendental bliss. So this is a function or a manifestation of the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada has explained in the purports in this chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita some very important instructions here, philosophical instructions. He says that it is through the Samvit Shakti that one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unless that Samvit Shakti is reinforced by the Ladini Shakti, one cannot actually understand the Supreme Lord. A very important point. Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are three types of cognitions, or three ways of knowledge, or three types or methods of understanding knowledge in this material world. One is direct, the second is indirect, and the third is perverted. So the perverted understanding is what we have in this material world as conditioned living entities. So our only source of information is sense perception, and we think that what our senses tell us must be the truth and there is nothing beyond that. So that is perverted cognition, and that can never reveal the Supreme Absolute Truth to us. Neither Srimati Radharani, nor Krishna, nor Vrindavan, nor the whole Vaikuntha abode. Then there is what is called indirect knowledge, which Srila Prabhupada explains as the process of negating sensory perception and trying to understand the Absolute Truth by speculative processes. So essentially he's referring here to the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. So the Brahman is also the Supreme Truth, as the Absolute Truth, but it is only one aspect of it. And then finally there is direct knowledge. This direct knowledge is the realm of the Samvit Shakti. It is because of Samvit Shakti that one actually tries to understand Krishna, understand spiritual knowledge. But as I mentioned earlier, it is only by the reinforcement of the Ladini Shakti, and by a combination of the Samvit and Ladini Shakti, we can actually understand Krishna. Because knowing Krishna can be done only by love, as Bhagavad Gita says, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yash Chakshmi Tattvataha, correct? And many verses like that. So if you want to know Krishna, you have to love Him. And love means bliss on the spiritual platform. Therefore, knowledge of Krishna is not just an intellectual understanding. It is an understanding through the process of love, which is non-different from happiness, transcendental happiness. So therefore, the important point here is, without Srimati Radharani, we cannot understand Krishna. Okay, because Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Ladini Shakti. How so? Again, Kaviraj Goswami describes that the essence of this Ladini Shakti is called is Prema. The essence of Prema is called Bhava. The essence of Bhava is called Mahabhava. And the personification of this Mahabhava is Srimati Radharani. So this is who Srimati Radharani is. Now we have discussed her identity and how it is important for us to understand or go through Srimati Radharani. Without going through her, we cannot understand Krishna. And therefore I come to another part of the purport which I had read. I'll read another couple of lines that Srila Prabhupada says here. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Very important point for us. This is where the significance really lies for us. For Srimati Radharani, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Krishna. So if we want to become pure devotees, we have to go through Srimati Radharani, because she will then carry our service to Krishna and say, my dear Krishna, this particular devotee in the Radha Madan Mohan temple in Atlanta is serving you very nicely. So please accept his service or her service and make them pure devotees. Please accept their service, and Krishna is obliged. And therefore Prabhupada says, devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. So our bhakti is inadequate, it is incomplete, it is lacking when we do not go through Srimati Radharani. She is the perfection of devotional service. There can be no greater devotee than Srimati Radharani. And she is also the personification of pure devotional service, which is non-different from transcendental bliss. Love and bliss are the same on the spiritual platform. Although in the material world, love very often converts to hatred. Yes, because this is the world of duality. But in the spiritual world, it doesn't happen. Therefore, Radharani's position as the personification of pure devotional service is very important. I mentioned in the beginning that Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Sri Krishna. Because she's tender-hearted, she may overlook a few things, the defects that we may have. And if we sincerely try to please her and we pray to her lotus feet, then our life will be successful, because she is very kind-hearted. So when you go to her, she will very easily shower her mercy. And as we all know, on birthdays people tend to be more magnanimous. So Srimati Radharani anyway is extremely magnanimous, but on Radhashtami she is going to be even more so. So perhaps when you celebrate Radhashtami, you can especially remember to ask for her mercy, so that we may be fortunate recipients and then our life can become perfect. In Gaudiya Vaishnavas, at the same time, we also petition the mercy of Krishna to be able to serve Srimati Radharani. This is the curious paradox. Because we don't want to be known as only as servants of Krishna, we want to be known as servants of Radharani, servant of the servant of the servant, because the topmost servant of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So to say that I am a devotee of Krishna is a very big thing, because that position is reserved for Srimati Radharani and a few exalted souls like that. Or not souls, Srimati Radharani is not a soul, but few personalities like that. And then Srimati Radharani has so many assistants, who then have assistants. So our position is Gopi Bhartuhu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Dasaha, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. So therefore in our aspiration, in the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we want to be servants of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani. So here is how we pray to Radharani for getting Krishna's mercy. We pray to Krishna for being allowed to assist Srimati Radharani, many times removed, as her servant. So Radhashtami is about 15 days, 14 days, roughly 14 or 15 days, depending on the length of the tithis, away after Janmashtami. So as we all know, Krishna appears on the Ashtami, or the 8th day of the waxing, or the waning, I beg your Krishna Paksha, so waning fortnight of the month of Bhadra. And Srimati Radharani appears in the same month, but a fortnight later, in the Shukla Paksha. So she appears on the Shukla Paksha in the Ashtami Tithi in the same month of Bhadra. So actually, devotees ask sometimes the question, what is the age difference between Srimati Radharani and Krishna? Now there are lots and lots of things going around on the internet. Don't get confused by what all these opinions are. Actually, in the spiritual world, eternally, Srimati Radharani is about 14 years and 2 months and 15 days, I think. This is the statement of Dhyanachandra Goswami in his Paddhati. And Sri Krishna is 15 years and 9 months and 7 days or something. So the difference in age between them in Goloka Vrindavan and eternal Leela, Nitya Leela, is about 1 year and 7 months. But that may not be the case in Prakat Leela. Prakat Leela is when their lordships manifest in the material world. So here we see that the tithis differ only by a fortnight, a lunar fortnight. However, it is believed that the Radharani was born in the year after Krishna's birth. So which means that there is a difference in age in Prakat Leela, manifest pastimes, of 1 year and a fortnight between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani has come along with Krishna. Krishna never comes alone, just as Shakti and Shaktiman will always be there. And she participated in the pastimes, and she has come to bestow her mercy. And how can one complete a lecture about Srimati Radharani without mentioning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because Sri Krishna and Radharani were one, they became two, and again they became one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna, but he has come in the guise of Srimati Radharani. Krishna Swarupam, so Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naume Krishna Swarupam. So he is Krishna Swarupa, but he has come with the bhava, that is the mood, and the kanti, or the complexion, of Srimati Radharani. He has come to taste the mellows that Srimati Radharani experiences in her relationship to Krishna. So for us, therefore, Radharani is also more important, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to taste those mellows. And he has come to spread this message of this transcendental mellow and the mood of Vrindavan amongst everybody. Shrimati Radharani ki jai, Shri Radhashtami Mahotsav ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. So I would now like to sing a song, okay? A Vaishnav song by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So, have you shared the screen with me?
Yes, Maharaj, you have the co-host rights.
Okay. ते गाउन गाउन दाखवा
जय जय राधा कृष्ण युगल मिलाना.
हाँ ठीक है, एक मिनट. ओके, सो दिस इज कॉल्ड श्री युगल आरती कंपोज्ड बाय श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर. इट इज फ्रॉम गीतावली. जय जय राधा कृष्ण युगल मिलना,
जय जय राधा कृष्ण युगल मिलना,
आरती करो वे ललिता दि सखी गण,
आरती करो वे ललिता दि सखी गण,
मदन मोहन रूप त्रिभंग सुंदर,
मदन मोहन रूप त्रिभंग सुंदर,
पीताम्बर शिखी पुच्छ चूड़ा मनोहर,
पीताम्बर शिखी पुच्छ चूड़ा मनोहर,
जय जय राधा कृष्ण युगल मिलन, ललित माधव वामे विश्वभानु कन्या,
ललित माधव विश्वभानु कन्या,
I beg your pardon. ललित माधव वामे वृषभानु कन्या,
ललित माधव वामे वृषभानु कन्या,
सुनील वसन गौर, सुनील वसन गौरी रूपे गुणे धन्या,
सुनील वसन गौरी रूपे गुणे धन्या,
नाना विध अलंकार कर झलमल,
नाना विध अलंकार कर झलमल,
हरि मनोविमोहन वदन उज्ज्वल,
हरि मनोविमोहन वदन उज्ज्वल,
विशाखादि सखी गण नाना रागे गाया, प्रिय नर्म सखी जत चमर ढुलाया,
प्रिय नर्म सखी जत चमर ढुलाया,
श्री राधा माधव पद सरसिज आशे,
श्री राधा माधव पद सरसिज आशे,
भक्ति विनोद सखी परे सुखे भाषे,
भक्ति विनोद सखी परे सुखे भाषे,
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय राधा मदन मोहन राधा मदन मोहन राधे जय वृंदावन धाम जय वृंदावन धाम जय वृंदावन धाम जय वृंदावन धाम जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल श्री राधाष्टमी महोत्सव की जय हरे कृष्णा सो आई एम जस्ट ऑन टाइम आई थिंक Okay, thank you very much.